This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy, your born and raised Texas energy provider. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Happy hump day to you. Second hour of the program for this Wednesday. We grind it out until 1, joined at the bottom of the hour, after the bottom of the hour, by Culture Map star Ken Hoffman. Some stars twinkle brightly, more so than others. 1 o'clock on 97.5, it's the usual suspects. 1 o'clock on SportsMap 94.1, it's Stephen A. Smith's ESPN radio show for a couple of hours, which means the simulcast, your ability to get this show and multiple others on whichever station happens to come in better, wherever you happen to be around the city, 97.5 or 94.1. That's true, starting with John and Lance, 7 until 9. Then it splits 9 until 11, so a couple of hours of replay of the Golic and Wingo, Wingo and Golic show airs on 94.1. Then 11 until 1, whichever station works the better. 1 until 3, it's the split, so Stephen A. gets clearance. And then the final hour of the usual suspects and continuing through the blitz, 4 until 7. The simulcast, 97.5, 94.1. Of course, if you're hip and modern, who needs a radio? Just get it directly through your browser, ESPN975.com or SportsMap941.com. Apps exist and work pretty darn well, actually, for both stations. And after-the-fact listening available via podcast, specifically this show. I don't know who did it yesterday, but near record time, by 1:10, I think it was up. Podcastarena.com/Polillo, one of actually multiple ways to go get it after the fact. To me, that's the simplest to convey to you. Podcastarena.com. It's owned by Gal Media, and it works. /PALLILO. And there's also a link to that on my Twitter page. Anytime I email back to you, just try to give you as many ways as possible to get the show where and however best works for you. All right, I mentioned happy Wednesday to you. Real good chance you can have an even happier Friday the 21st. I'm not saying this Friday will be a bummer, but Friday the 21st, last show days before Christmas. And we're not doing a show Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So Friday the 21st, starting bright and early, it is a daily double of holiday good cheer. Klein's Fine Jewelry and then Nick's Place. For basically a day-long listener appreciation parties. If you need the whole day off, well, take it. Food, drink, giveaways galore, starting at 7 a.m. at Klein's Fine Jewelry on Westheimer. And then just as lunchtime beckons at 11 o'clock, just up Westheimer or out Westheimer to Nick's Place. And throughout the day, in addition to the shows, all kinds of prizes. Guess the grand prize will be a rejuvenation Houstonian staycation or a full suit from Endochino. Again, Friday the 21st. If you need a reason to take off the last Friday before Christmas, there would be one good suggestion for you. All right, news of the day. Not a whole lot to this point. The Baltimore Ravens clinging to the second wild card in the AFC at the moment. Meaning, at the moment, they would be the Texans' wild card weekend opponent. Joe Flacco's healthy. Joe Flacco's also staying a backup. Lamar Jackson, who doesn't throw the ball very well, but the fact that he can run around, Joe Flacco doesn't throw the ball very well. Ravens are 3-1 with Lamar Jackson, so they are sticking with his multi-dimensionness as Baltimore is home for Tampa Bay Sunday. I mean, at this point in the season, you shouldn't be able to ask for a much easier home game than a Florida team in mid-December in the North and a Buccaneers team that's already dead. So Lamar Jackson for the Ravens might be Nick Foles for the Eagles. Covered that at the end of last hour. Carson Wentz ailing coming off the Cowboy game. See, the city of Oakland is suing the Raiders and the NFL. At some point, don't you need to just let them go? It's a bad organization, a bad owner, but they want damages at least. They want their pound of flesh as the Raiders get ready to move to Las Vegas. Who knows what that means for the Raiders in 2019? Maybe they're the San Diego Raiders for a year. That would be, I don't know if ironic, but would be odd considering the Chargers, except for on the field, they're leaving San Diego for L.A. is a complete disaster. There are no Charger fans in Los Angeles. There are no Charger fans at Charger home games. They're just winning almost all their games and definitely are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Their defense is elite. It's one of the few defenses that from the top down, if you had your choice of the three best defenders on the Chargers or the three best defenders on the Texans, you're taking the Chargers. Because who's the third best defender on the Texans? J.J. Watt is number one. Sunday's brain-dead moment aside, Jadeveon Clowney's clearly number two. Hey, Clowney should have met with the media today. And probably would say no more than he just should have been a professional and said Sunday, I screwed up. I was anticipating. Luck's really good at that. He got me. I feel bad. By the way, I didn't cost us the game. I cost us a possible chance to maybe try to come back and win the game. But Clowney was Bush League, bailing out on his teammates and the media after the game Sunday. Hey, that's his worst moment of the season. It's not a high crime. So who's the Texans' third best defensive player? Are you going to judge a chain by its weakest link? Is it Kareem Jackson this year? He's had a good season, but the Chargers, right? Offense typically, especially when you don't follow a team closely, unless you're the Bears and your defense is wrecking people and your overall history other than Walter Payton is about your defense. So the Bears, you think defense. The Chargers, it's natural to think Phillip Rivers. Hell, they're still winning every week. Melvin Gordon hasn't played in three games. Right? He's tremendous. Keenan Allen, that little Tyrell Williams. I mean, they signed Antonio Gates out of retirement when Hunter Henry went down, and Antonio Gates is having another good year. But the Chargers on defense, that's why the Texans, they need to get the three seed. Because if somehow they wind up the four and they have to play the Chargers, the Texans are going to be one and done. They're going to lose at home. I don't know about 30 to nothing like the Kansas City game, but the Chargers have a better offense. The Chargers have a better defense. Best hope would be that the Chargers have peaked early. Guess we'll find out about that maybe tomorrow night when they play the Chiefs, a chance to tie for the AFC West lead. Kansas City's 11-2. The Chargers right there, 10-3. Kansas City beat the Chargers by 10 in L.A. opening day. So the Chiefs win tomorrow night. They pretty much clinch the number one seed in the AFC. Texans favored by 6 Saturday at the Jets. Has Tyrann Mathieu been the Texans' third best defensive player this season? Eh. It's a pretty steep drop-off. I mean, Watt and Clowney are both going to make the Pro Bowl. Watt for sure. Clowney, I think. Those are the only guys who should make it. And the NFL has named... Ooh, I hadn't seen this one. I'm going to bet the Texans are not one of them because, well, the Tech, yeah, they're not. Five teams giving up home games. I mean, the NFL is playing five international games next year. Four in London and one, well, allegedly, in Mexico City. The Rams-Chiefs fiasco. So what franchises would you think give up home games? The Jaguars, their owners all about London, and the Jaguars can't sell out unless they're really good. The Rams, who can't sell out the Coliseum. It's a big facility, but the Rams still can't sell out the Coliseum unless they have a brand name opponent. The Chargers, because... well, that franchise is a clown show off the field. Ditto the Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Texans have not played a regular season game in London, right? Am I forgetting one? They played in Mexico. And the Texans next year... I haven't locked in on this stuff yet. But this year they're playing the AFC East. Last year when everyone was beating the Texans, they played the AFC North. So next year they'd play the West. They could get a road game at the Raiders or the Chargers, but have to play it in London. And which NFC division do they play next year? Well, it's not the East. Let's just move on. Rockets off beating Portland last night. No grand celebration warranted, but as a sigh of relief victory, it was a good one for them. I mean, they really needed it. And while there's still 4 months of season remaining, you drop too far behind too many teams. And yes, the Rockets can wind up a lottery team. They're still next to last in the Western Conference. Only 2.5 games out of seventh. But they're behind a bunch of teams. When you're behind a bunch of teams, they can't all lose all the time. Tonight, Sacramento plays Minnesota. All right, the Rockets are going to lose ground to somebody. Utah tonight, home against Miami. The Jazz has dropped its last couple since humiliating the Rockets last week. Oklahoma City's at New Orleans. Well, somebody ahead of the Rockets is winning tonight. Game of the night in the NBA, Toronto Raptors at Golden State. Best in the East, unless you're really big on Milwaukee or Philadelphia, against, well, the best in the world, one of the best of all time. And the Warriors are whole again. First, they got back Steph Curry, started winning. Then they had Draymond Green back. Warriors have won 4 in a row. They are 19-9. And the Rockets are 6 games behind Golden State. That's a lot this early in the season. Rockets' immediate objective is to get back to 500. Lakers tomorrow night at Toyota Center. Haven't seen a point spread yet. That should probably be about a pick 'em. It's not as if the Rockets' home court advantage is any good. And the Lakers, 500 on the road. But they've been playing a lot of good ball. Led by the, again, best player in the world. And I think it's setting up for LeBron to win that fifth most valuable player award this year and equal Michael Jordan in that category. Lakers win 50 games, no one else has a shot. No one else should have a shot besides LeBron James, who's basically been the best player in the league for 12, 13 years running. Not always, always the most valuable. And you get tired of giving it to him every year. Right? That happened to Michael Jordan as well when Barkley won it, when Karl Malone won it. But LeBron James in the all-time greatness category still pursuing Michael Jordan. And heaven forbid, well, not heaven forbid, he does it. He carries this Laker team to the Western Conference Final or somehow gets past Golden State. LeBron versus Michael, it's a very even fight with some things favoring LeBron James at that point. As in the breadth of greatness of his career. He's already gone past Jordan on that one. All right, need to take the break. One segment left, and then Ken Hoffman, the last couple of segments, which will be an absolute potpourri of nothingness. But we usually have a little bit of fun while we're at it. So within one segment to come, if you have a bone to pick or something to get in before the class, this would probably be the opportunity for it. The HRNP listener line, call a number, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Emails and tweets, I get to as I can, cp@gowmedia.com or Twitter at Palillo, P-A-L-L-I-L-O. Hey, a plug on the Rockets. I mean, look, tomorrow night for LeBron and the Lakers, that's a sellout. But they have a number of more attractive home games to close out the calendar year. Tickets for all Rockets games available, well, obviously, at the Toyota Center box office. Also via Rockets.com, in addition to stats and podcasts and video and all kinds of other stuff. Also, as we count down during the holiday season, Rockets Holiday Packs. Two different five-game options to choose from, starting as low as $149 per ticket. So under $30 per game. The Holiday Red Pack includes the Celtics, who are here the 27th. Anthony Davis and the Pelicans on their way. Rockets get another shot at the Mavericks. Those games all included in the Holiday Red Pack. The Silver Pack includes both the Kawhi Toronto Raptors loan visit to town and Curry, Durant, and the Champions return visit this regular season. Also, Rockets have a Holiday Family special game for the Wizards next Wednesday. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, and a family holiday photo with Santa Clutch or some live reindeer. That's available, actually, at a variety of price points. So to check it all out, Rockets.com or right to the Toyota Center box office. Holiday Packs, the family special game next week against the Wizards, and more. Let them know you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. 94.1. is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Accompanied by Sam Spence's NFL Films Orchestra. Some Texan stuff within this segment. She'll bridge it to the bottom of the hour, and then our radio red carpet rolls out for Ken Hoffman from Culture Map. He actually sent me a list of talking points today. Pretty old dog to be learning new tricks like preparation. All right, first, on the scheduling matter for next year. The Texans, well, the AFC South, plays the AFC West and the NFC South. So there's a decent chance the Texans will be told you're playing a road game in London. NFL splitting games between Wembley Stadium and a new pleasure palace they built for Tottenham over there. The Texans' non-divisional road games include games, quote-unquote, at the L.A. Chargers, who are giving up a home game to play it in England, and at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are giving up a home game to play it in England. The other non-divisional games, what we know about the Texans' schedule, they'll play at Kansas City next year. Well, there's one probable loss. The AFC West home games, the Texans get the Raiders at NRG Stadium and the Broncos at NRG Stadium. From the NFC South, the Texans play at New Orleans next season, in addition to at the Buccaneers, wherever it is. The NRG Stadium games for the Texans next year are the Falcons and the Panthers. Man, judging from this year's results, Texans have never gone undefeated at home. Next year, they'll get their three divisional opponents. Well, once so well against the Colts on Sunday. But Oakland, Denver, Atlanta, and Carolina. It's four losing teams. Now, the Texans' home schedule, quote-unquote, on paper, cake next year. The only two opponents we don't know for the 2019 Texans are the two strength of schedule games. Let's risk assuming the Texans are going to win the AFC South. Well, they're playing the whole AFC West, so that means the Texans' two strength of schedule games will be against the AFC East champion and against the AFC North champion. So, again, the Texans will play the New England Patriots. I would risk presuming the Patriots will be told, you get to go to Houston for a change. The Texans' last four regular season meetings with the Patriots have all been in Foxborough, including opening day this year as an AFC South, AFC East game. Next year, it's a strength of schedule game. The Patriots are 12-1, I think, against the Texans all time, with a strong majority of the games played in New England, including the last four, both playoff games up there. So if the Texans get the Patriots here, that means they will play at either Pittsburgh or Baltimore, whichever winds up winning the AFC North. Steelers fading badly, but are the Ravens capable of overtaking them? So there's the 2019 schedule. I'm going to say personally, the odds are strongly against me going to London if the Texans play there. But for all the Texans fans who do travel on a semi-regular or occasional basis, or never, but for that kind of trip, that'd be great. Especially if the game's more in October than, say, late November. Well, they don't schedule the England games later in the year. So there's a shot, at least. Two of the Texans' road games next year are eligible to be exported to London. All right, the one other thing, I'll rip through it. The NFL distributing playoff clinching possibilities. Texans are 9-4. Colts and Titans both 7-6. I mean, the Texans basically have to choke. They can clinch the AFC South this week if they win and both the Colts and Titans don't, meaning they could both lose or they could both tie. Or one could lose, one could tie. You have to account for these ties, which is annoying, but it's straightforward. The Texans are two games up with three to play. They win. Colts and Titans lose. They're three up with two to play. It's over. All right. One breath, maybe. I'm just going to do the first three of them. Texans playoff clinching scenarios this week. The Texans cannot clinch if they lose. There's no combination of other losses that if the Texans blow it at the Jets Sunday, the Texans still clinch a playoff spot. If the Texans win and Miami loses on Sunday, who are the Dolphins playing? At Minnesota. Oh, good chance the Dolphins lose. Well, not with Sunday night's Kirk Cousins. But if the Texans beat the Jets, Miami loses at Minnesota, and the Patriots beat Pittsburgh Sunday, the Texans clinch. The only other scenario that involves the Texans clinching a playoff spot without a Titans or Colts loss at minimum is the Texans win, the Dolphins don't win, and the Ravens don't win. Ravens are home for Tampa. I mean, Baltimore certainly should win that game. But there are eight scenarios in which the Texans clinch a playoff berth in addition to two scenarios in which the Texans clinch the AFC South. There will be no math. There will be no quiz. It's much more cut and dried for Kansas City, which has already clinched a playoff spot. The Chiefs, they wrap up a first-round bye with a win. The Chiefs win, and the Steelers beat the Patriots. The Chiefs clinch number one, meaning they're probably at that point, even with Andy Reid's playoff track record and no Kareem Hunt, if the Chiefs have two playoff home games to win to go to the Super Bowl for the first time since the early 70s, I think they're going to do it. New England isn't what it has been. I'm not taking Phillip Rivers and the Chargers to win in Kansas City in mid-January, and there's certainly no other AFC team I'd give a good chance against Kansas City in Kansas City, right? The Texans included, but certainly the Colts, the Steelers, the Ravens, anyone else. But boy, Andy Reid sure has a history of blowing home playoff games. So the Texans can clinch this weekend, probably won't clinch this weekend, but it would become about all but inevitable. I mean, it's close to that now. Texans favored by 6 over the Jets. Forecast is hell. Temperature's going to be in the 40s, so there's no cold excuse that the Texans go and wet the bed on Saturday. My biggest concern is it seems too obvious to me they're going to win. Bouncing back from a loss, if they'd gotten a little big for their britches, which I don't think they had. I just think the Colts played a clearly better game and beat them. 3:30 our time start on Saturday from MetLife Stadium. All right, need to get the break in so Ken Hoffman can join us for the last couple of segments. Food plug for Big City Wings. Let me cover their gift card special up front. $50 gift card, ideal for any stocking stuffer. Or for yourself, they'll give you a $10 bonus card with the purchase of a $50 gift card. If you want to do $25, $5 bonus gift card. So 20% on top of the gift card you go with, starting at $25. Then, of course, there's the food 7 days per week. Two for Tuesdays at all 6, soon to be 7 with Kingwood opening, Big City Wings locations. Buy one, get one, traditional bone-in or boneless. They do 2-for-1 with the boneless again on Thursdays. Wednesdays, $7 certified Angus burgers. They also have a Whiskey Wednesday things going as well if happy hour appeals to you this evening. Big screen TVs galore, 35-plus at all locations. Maybe it's a little college basketball you want to watch tonight. Or the pros anytime, football through the playoffs and the big game. But really, go the first time for the wings. Though if somehow you're anti-wing, full menu. Full menu, appetizers through desserts, pulled pork quesadillas. They do a terrific grilled chicken sandwich. Room for dessert as well because Big City Wings won't disappoint there either. All their locations are mapped. The entire menu's available at BigCityWings.com. Emerging as the defining wing joint of quality in Houston, give them a shot. That's my job, to get you to give them a shot. They'll win you back. BigCityWings.com. Tell them you heard about it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.
Damn, Missy Mari got beat.
You're listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, final couple of segments. No napping. Ken Hoffman of Culture Map and the Washington Post.
Whoa. That was a one-day deal. One-day deal. I won't even, and
pretty
no
nice
napping.
Little deal. I guess unfortunate circumstances for you to... So you're a WAPO guy now? Is that how I should refer to you? Washington Post, that's the hip argo for
what
Washington
happened
Post.
Was on the day that George H.W. Bush was laid to rest, the Washington Post called me up and they asked if I would, you know, just hire for one day, like an Uber guy almost. And so I went and I did some quotes, and then I went up to Spring for when they loaded the casket onto the train, and I wrote a bunch of stuff additional to what they asked. And by the end, I shared a front page byline, which was pretty cool.
Even though
I've been around a little bit, that was still pretty special for me.
Well, you've been featured in the New York Times.
I have been featured in the New York Times, and we can't talk about that.
Why would you laugh at the old gray lady? But yeah, I'm in the Washington Post.
You want to tell how we did that?
Not today.
No. We
have too much other
that
stuff.
That might disqualify
you. So is that how it's worked? They call you up and say, hey, we'll hire you for one day. You sign a one-day contract without signing a contract?
No, there was no contract.
No,
it was just
contract.
Like, you know, we'll pay you $1.85 or something like that. And I said, yeah, you know, I was on vacation last week anyway. So, they gave me a media pass, and I had to sign a document saying I would live up to their standards, which was, you know, something new for me, or Jason Blair. And so I did it. And I went to that service, and I interviewed all the dignitaries coming in. Then I went to Chick-fil-A because they have the best Wi-Fi. This is a little journalism secret for you. If you need Wi-Fi, go to Chick-fil-A. It's better than what you have in your house. And I did it, and then instead of just giving quotes, I kind of wrote a bunch of stuff, color, they call it. And by the end, they liked me and want me to do more stuff.
So do you find – congratulations. That's actually a nice, fun, cool thing.
I'll treat you to lunch tomorrow.
Do you find a better class of people already answering your calls, responding to your texts, now that you have the gravitas of being a Washington Post Cub reporter?
I am. I'm Jimmy Olsen. No. You know, I don't – you know, no one knows. No one knows except you. I was just bragging to you. But
Will you frame the article a little late by 10 or something like that?
The only one in my house that I framed was – I was very lucky. I was working with John Lander in the Q Morning Zoo just as a helper. I just got into Houston. And
Let me guess. Chocolate chip banana pancakes at IHOP.
Yeah, that's the one. It's because they put the extra. No. What it was Gannett owned the radio station, and they had like 100 radio stations. And they asked Lander to go to the Berlin Wall as it was coming down. And then they called me in because, you know, John's an on-air guy. Would I go as his eyes and ears? Absolutely. So I was at the Berlin Wall on the day it came down, and I got a big chunk of the rock. You know, people say rock for some reason. It was the wall. And I got it, and I took it home. So on my wall at home, I have the Berlin Wall with my article that I wrote that day for the Houston Post for you nostalgia buffs.
Single coolest piece of memorabilia you have, that or a genuine Houston Post newspaper bin?
I have that, but I have something better than all of them.
Beatles related?
I have a John Lennon autographed album.
That's number one?
Oh, yeah.
If the cabin's going to burn and you can only rescue one thing?
That and then my family.
In that order?
Yes. I can always get another family.
Somehow, you must be chastened. You must be encouraged. You must be...
Those are two opposite things.
Though. I know. You sent me this list of preparation and talking points and topics.
Well, because
is
last
this all
time,
because of the Washington Post thing?
No, it was because of last time as we were walking out, you said, we've done better. So I wanted to, you know.
All right. So, of course, we're not going to get to most of these today, but we can cruise till spring, the length of the list that you sent me.
And admit,
you really think Mike D'Antoni's in trouble?
Oh, this is how I figured. What I wrote was, who's going to pay for this? If it continues along its lackluster path, someone's going to pay. Tillman is a pretty tough business guy, right? He didn't spend what he paid, $2.3 billion, whatever it was, billions of dollars.
$2.2.
He didn't buy a team to finish 500 at the end of the year. So someone will have to pay. And then it's obviously between Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni. And everybody, for some reason, loves Daryl Morey. And D'Antoni's, 70 years old? Close?
66, 67.
So he would be the one who would go. Someone's going to pay for it.
I need to get our last break in. When we come back, you're apparently unhappy with the second induction class for the Houston Sports Hall of Fame.
Unhappy?
Are you going to take a pot shot at a local Houston sports legend or two or three or four?
And the person who runs it.
Wow. It's not quite must-listen radio, but as close as we're going to come between 11 and 1. So.
Or we could do the playoff projections again.
All right. The Washington Post's Ken Hoffman, who also writes for culturemap.com, to close the show down today ahead of the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Stephen A. Smith's ESPN radio show on Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a beautiful way back Wednesday on the usual suspects, and we are coming to you live thanks to Hawk Security from Gatlin's Barbecue right here on Ella. It is unbelievable barbecue, fantastic food, wonderful people. If you're in the area, come on by. We'll be here till 4 o'clock, and obviously there will be great food to be had by all and some good conversation as well. Barry's here next to me. Nick back at the studio. Nate Griffin will be joining us at once per hour, checking in at the bottom of each hour as we can catch up on some things with Nate as his busy schedule has him flying all over town. But, fellas, what's up? How we doing today?
What's up? I started a diet on Monday, and it ended on Wednesday. That's how it goes when you go to a barbecue joint. So
has it ended already, or is it ending right now?
It's going to end when they bring me my plate, and then it will pick up again when I leave. So, yeah, this is a pause for the cause.
So, essentially, you've never gone on a diet, is basically what you're saying this week.
What's that?
48 hours does not count as a diet, sir. You have to elongate.
No, like, this is long term. Like, I plan on getting back down to sexy 170, so... It's just, you know, you come to Gatlin's and you eat barbecue. You don't order a salad. Yeah, what am I going to get? A salad? Yeah. I don't think so. Oh, see, ma'am, you screwed it up. You got a salad. Good for you for having willpower.
Yes,
but
compliments
no
to
way.
You. I don't know how you do that, but well done.
No way. There's no way I'm doing that.
I believe the fellas will be making up for what you are passing on as they pass around the plates, I see. So that's always good. But, yeah, you can't not eat barbecue when you're here.
Nope. So I put that on pause, so we'll get back to that later.
Nick, Barry said he's looking at bringing you some back, so don't worry.
That would be fabrication. That would be a lie.
Yeah, I'm not bringing Nicholas anything back, no.
I don't think you guys ever brought anything, ever, since not once. Not once since you guys have been on any remote, wherever it is.
Really? Because I seem to recall the couple of times that we've gone to Cowboys and Indians without you, we brought food.
Yes, we have.
I don't remember that.
I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I remember
offering
it.
Well, it's never going to happen again now.
We offered at other places. So, yeah, don't go there, Chief.
It was the Himalayan Heat sliders that you guys brought.
Nick,
greatly appreciate it.
I will get you some barbecue. All you have to do is meet me in the Woodlands / Spring area.
Not happening.
That's it. That's the only stipulation. Otherwise, I'll bring you whatever you want.
That just means more eats and treats for Barry because you can take it home
and have
it for dinner.
That's right, because he's not going to drive up there.
That's right.
There's
he's
no
not
way.
Coming.
I know what I'm doing.
All right, so lots to get to today. The winter meetings are ending today in Las Vegas for baseball, so we'll cover some things there as some of the Astros' potential moves may be falling into place or guys moving on, so we'll get to that. Rockets played last night, we know that, so we'll get to that with the Portland
Trail Blazers. Did you watch?
I did.
I figured.
I did. Why wouldn't I?
Because it's a bad product right now? I don't know.
Well, I mean... The Kool-Aid drinkers were on social media last night. So.
Was there a lot of "see I told yous" or something?
No, there was a lot of because of my joke back at Daryl Morey, who took the little playful poke the bear jab at Curry. Most people got the humor in it, had fun with it,
yeah.
And then of course you have a couple of the Rockets are number one and great no matter what people that just decided to, like, get offended by it.
How upset was Kurt Lowe?
Did not hear from him.
Oh, well, you got lucky then.
But he also tweeted the fact
lucky.
That everybody should just mark his words that once the bench is healthy again and Harden stops turning the ball over just a little bit, they'll be the second best team in the West before you know it.
Oh, okay. Well, so I did hear that you got some run on the blitz yesterday thanks to Jerome and
that was very nice of them.
AJ,
I heard it on the way home.
Saying that they were impressed with you.
Yeah.
I missed it, but that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I consulted with you before I pressed send because
yes.
I was worried. You know, I was worried about the bat. I'm like, I don't want people thinking I hate the Rockets. It's just a fun little thing. You're like, no, it's funny. Do it.
Do it.
So I did it, and like I said, so most people got the humor in it. The Blitz got the humor. A lot of people thought it was very, very funny. I had a lot of people in and around the league and otherwise thought it was funny. And then you get that select few that drink the red Kool-Aid by the gallon that started to just take little pot shots, and I was like, nope, I'm going to be Barry tonight. I'm not going to take it, and I'm going to blast him.
Good for you. Why don't you tell the people what the tweet was?
Okay.
Because I'm sure some people might have missed it. So if they did, first of all, if you did miss it, you should be following everybody on this show, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at
right.
Barry is funny, at the producer Nick. I mean, you should be following us anyways because there's all kind of gems that come out of this show, specifically mine. Not the rest of these guys, But every once in a while, what?
Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Every once in a while, you'll get one that gets fired off like what Joel did, and it was really funny. So, yeah, you should.
So if you missed it yesterday, Steph Curry went out there, and he was on a podcast with Vince Carter and Kent Bazemore, and he said he didn't really believe that we never had astronauts on the moon, that it never really happened.
Yes.
So this is kind of like a follow-up to Kyrie Irving thinking the Earth is flat. All of a sudden, you've got someone out there that's a very prominent player saying they don't think that they landed on the moon. So Daryl Morey responds to Steph Curry and sends him a tweet. That's a GIF of the first mission control at NASA, and it says, "Today we salute the 400,000 people involved in faking 6 moon landings for keeping their mouths shut for 49 years.
Okay. Funny.
Funny. Yeah.
I don't think he came up with it. I'm sure he found that picture and someone else
correct.
Created it.
But again, okay. It's just a little poke of the bear, but it's also just, hey, it's playful, right?
Right.
So my response was, so maybe instead of worrying about the moon, shouldn't you be worried about the Suns? After all, they're the closest team to you at the bottom of the Western Conference.
God,
again, just a playful
little bear. Man alive!
Everybody got a chuckle out of it, thought it was fun, except for a select few, and then they decided that they thought that they were Daryl's security and his protection
now,
and...
Now, did Daryl like it?
Never. He didn't respond either way.
He didn't respond either way. He took the high road.
Right.
Okay. Did Steph Curry like Daryl's tweet?
I never saw Steph Curry respond at all either.
Okay. So Curry ignored Daryl and Daryl ignored you.
Yeah.
Well,
which was all par for the course.
That's fine. Yeah. That can happen. There are plenty of times where people will tweet you or me or Nick stupid stuff and we'll ignore it. We'll just not engage.
Yeah, so I finally engaged, but I took it offline because of the fact I took it away from everybody else because the idiots kept wanting to include Steph Curry and Daryl and Tim Kashikawa, who's the beat writer for the Warriors.
Okay.
Kawakami, like, that was way off. That was a disaster of a pronunciation.
Oh, close enough. Okay.
That was a disaster.
Took him out of the mix, took all of them out of the mix. And just address them directly, and then they didn't like that either. So I was like, well, okay. Well, you know, you can't please everybody all the time, as you should. We just got to roll on. So.
Oh, well, hey, you know what? I'm glad you shot your shot. I'm glad that it overall the response was positive. You know that sometimes when you do that, people are going to react negatively.
Yeah.
You can't control that. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
The good news is I had a lot of people just say around that area of the city near – the place where they play that was thought it was very funny. So,
good.
Yeah. So.
Did you get a lot of likes and retweets on it?
I did.
Did it
I
boost
did.
Your social
yeah.
media
I
presence?
I didn't look at the numbers in terms of did I add followers or anything, but I did get a lot of likes and retweets and things
like
that.
That's what it's all about, man. So. I do it for the likes. That's all I do it for.
Is that right?
I just want the likes. That's it. Just give me those likes. Hit that little heart. That gives me substance. That tells me I am somebody. That's what I'm in it for.
I'll keep that in mind. I'm going to like a lot of your stuff because I know it has meaning.
Yeah, it does. It's all the validation I need.
So today's a Way Back Wednesday, in
yep.
case you missed it. The theme, if you want to fill everybody in, Barry.
Space. Thanks to Curry.
Because of the whole topic with Steph Curry, we decided to do a space theme. There aren't that many songs out there, by the way, pre-2008 or otherwise, that involve space. But we did our best.
Yeah.
And once again, you indeed not only had the topic out there, but beat me by 3 minutes to get your list in. So therefore, I had to delete a lot of my songs. And I was not happy about it, but I know that made you even happier.
Sure. If you were upset, then I'm a happy man. Yep. If you got mad, then my job is done here. That's how it goes.
Well, and your job was done. But again, you also made sure
I thought we all came up with good lists. I'm not gonna dog you, and I'm not gonna dog Nick. I think everybody did a great job today, and we should all just hold hands and get along.
Wait, you already took a shot at Nick because you were convinced Nick was gonna come up with the theme this week.
Oh well, that part was disappointing because he talks a big game about how he's gonna help and then he doesn't help.
No, I said I would be on point in terms of the list. Like I would send my list on time if you guys confirmed the theme.
But
we didn't confirm a theme.
Yours is supposed to be the one coming up with the topics.
I've come up with quite a bit of Way Back Wednesday themes. This is not
just like one time. One
that's
time
not true.
In 2 years.
No. Not true.
Nick, you're not going to win this one because you know I wouldn't either.
I can't hear y'all.
You're a child, Nick. You're a child. You're acting like a child right now.
I know.
So that means that Barry is hour number one because I know the song. And I know Trey has already voted for Barry because of the song. Getting an Oasis song in there.
Yeah.
That's Oasis, and I love that song, and it's Champagne Super Old Water Wall. I don't know.
Had to nail it.
Yeah. So, all right, so we got that going for us. Barry's got hour number one, and we'll continue to update you there. Again, thanks to Hawk Security, who is out here at Gatlin's Barbecue, where you should be, too, 3510 Ella Boulevard. You can get here and get some great barbecue from Gatlin's. And check out everything from Hawk Security and our promotions team. Nate Griffin's here. He's going to join us 1:30, 2:30, and 3:30 to catch up on some things with him, sports in Houston. So it's going to be a good day on The Usual Suspects. And, of course, as always, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text. And, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Let this run for a while, baby.
This was not the version I was expecting.
Well, I wanted to let it run for a while.
I had a much more up-tempo version in my head when I put this on the list. Perhaps I put the wrong song. I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to run for a while. Because I already got people voting for you.
You would
like Josh Rapp pandering.
Yeah.
And I don't need all that. So hour number one, Way Back Wednesday, space theme, thanks to our man Steph Curry, is Barry. So he's got David Bowie on his list. I did too, but of course I had to remove it.
You lost.
No.
Okay. I think you lost with this song.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nick,
this is not the version I wanted.
Well done, Nick. Well played, sir. Continue to do that.
Says David Bowie, Space Oddity.
Bowie.
Whatever it is. So.
Hey, Nick, I think Alvin and the Chipmunks has a couple of versions of Barry songs. If you could find those, that would help us.
Maybe I was looking for Peter Schilling's version. I don't know.
9 times out of 10, y'all don't even know the songs y'all list.
That's
how many times you guys are like listening to the song while I'm playing? I'm like, this is not. Oh yeah, this is the song. That's not true.
That's false. That's completely
absolutely false.
See, you just said it's absolutely false. I'm glad you agree with me.
No.
So okay, we got Way Back Wednesday going on. Nicholas, you were at the game last night.
I was.
Obviously, a little change for the better for your Houston Rockets. What exactly was your takeaway from what you witnessed?
Yeah, it was crazy.
The bench.
It was crazy because we were talking about how I felt like we all agreed in that we didn't know if Eric Gordon being installed in the starting lineup would be a good move for the Rockets. Obviously, it panned out in this particular game. And then the bench showed up for the first time, right? They had an amazing game. But I think a part of it, and I'm not trying to take away anything from the Rockets, they're changing the lineups. Chris Paul was on record saying they're trying new defensive schemes. It's hard for a team to come in town and kind of make the adjustments in between games, in between practices. You kind of have to scheme for that. You have to scheme for the fact that they're changing their defense. They're not switching as much, as Mike D'Antoni admitted at practice today. And then the fact that you install Eric Gordon in the starting lineup, you've got to play differently for that because most teams are more prepared for Eric Gordon to come off the bench. So I'm not trying to take away anything from the Rockets. I do like what Mike D'Antoni did, because you have to work with what you have. He was dealt a hand, and now he has to mix things up. But I just don't see this being a momentum builder or something where
long-term
it builds.
Fix.
Yeah, I don't see long winning streaks. I see very small winning streaks and more losing streaks. I see inconsistency in the near future.
What do you got, Barry?
I mean, with three guards on the floor, they got, Harden had 30, Gordon had 14, Paul had 11. I didn't watch the game because, to be honest with you, it's still one of those products that I'm not interested in just yet. Okay. If you've got something else to do, I don't blame you if you don't watch the Rockets. But my question would be, to if you watched the game or you were at the game, what did the offense look like when the three of those guys on the floor, and what did the defense look like with the three of those guys on the floor?
So, Nick, I'll take a shot first just because I watched it. The thing that I noticed was, obviously, there's no quick fix for this team. So at least when you put Gordon in the lineup, there's going to be a lot more shots. They got off to a slow start. Portland kind of got off to a hot start. But at the same time, when they settled in, you could see that the familiarity that they have, especially when you implement a guy that they know well in Gordon with Capella, with Paul, with Harden, that they were at least comfortable. It wasn't like, some guy, like if they put Daniel House out there, and it would have to be like, getting familiarity with where he wants to be on the floor and otherwise. So when they got rolling, I thought that they made some great strides, and you could see offensively they looked like a better, more well-oiled machine. Defensively, I still think they're going to struggle, but they did get contributions off the bench. Nene was huge, along with Daniel House and Gerald Green, and they're going to need to do that because, to me, I just don't see like a quick fix trade coming around the corner anytime soon.
I don't see any trades coming anytime soon either. I think it's just a difficult situation. And Nene, Nene was a guy I was really high on for how long, but the guy is obviously a guy you have to watch. You have to watch his minutes. I mean, if I was Mike D'Antoni, I would go into the second part of the season and the postseason thinking that there's a possibility that Nene may not be on the floor. I think that Nene is just a guy they're squeezing every little minute that they can because they offered him that 3-year contract. And it's all guaranteed.
I thought D'Antoni had a great line after he obviously echoed what you said about the fact that he was worried about the minutes, but he said that was the old Nene, not an old Nene.
I love that.
The way he played. And he was absolutely right because he was frisky. He was active. He was trying to dunk on people.
Well, hell, he hadn't played in forever. I mean,
he should be well rested. Yeah. But then again, you don't know if he's, if he's got his wind about him because is he practicing?
One of the things I'm curious about is as I look at through the box score, and maybe this was indicative of the game, I don't know, but Rockets bench outscored the Blazers bench 37-13.
Yeah.
Which surprises me when you take the primary scorer from the bench in Eric Gordon and inject him into the starting lineup. You lose bench scoring, but for whatever reason, it was the complete opposite, and the bench really looked like it flourished maybe in the roles that were changed up, so. I don't know. That's surprising. I didn't expect this kind of outcome from the game. Not that Portland is a world beater or anything, but I don't know. Is this going to be the catalyst for the Rockets turning it around? I doubt it.
Now, they think it is because they referred back to the practice the day before, said it was a very spirited, long, very rugged practice, got everybody fired up. The results last night, Gerald Green kind of mentioned the fact that I also thought he had a great quote where he thought Daniel House played like he did the year before, meaning Gerald Green. They interviewed Gerald Green right after the game, and he said they asked him about Daniel House. He goes, "I feel like Daniel House is this year's version of me because he came in with energy. He was attacking the basket. He was doing some things." I think that they're saying all the right things, and it's good that they've got the right positive attitude about what's going on right now. But long term, I've got questions as well, simply because as I look at this and I see how this thing could play out, I'm a little concerned about the fact that bench is okay in spurts when you're playing a team like Portland. When you're playing deep teams, real good playoff teams, I don't see that bench stacking up with some of the guys that can come off in the second unit of other good teams.
Not only that, but something else to be concerned about is regardless of what order of play that these guys came into the game or started on the bench or whatever, they shot 31% from three-point range. And I don't know if it was indicative of what actually happened last night, but when you look at the box score – they got outshot by Portland was 10 of 25 for 40%. Rockets were 9 of 29 for 31%. So when your game is the three-point shot and you're getting beat at that, that's not a good recipe going forward for this team, though.
And Lillard was fantastic.
Still something they need to get better at.
Yeah, I thought Lillard was fantastic, Nick. I don't know what you saw there, but yeah. I just know that he's a pretty damn good player. I know Clyde Drexler couldn't have fluffed it more throughout the entire broadcast, but the fact of the matter is Lillard showed you. The weird mix about Portland to me is there's two of the same player on the floor. Because I think McCollum and Lillard are too much of the same, and I think if you want to have long-term success with Portland, who's very cap-strapped like the Rockets, I think one of those guys might have to go. Because I think they're very, very similar players.
I don't know. I like that backcourt duo, though, man.
I mean, look, it's good, but in order to get the supporting cast pieces you need to put them over the top, I'm not sure that they get it done with those two big contracts, with those two guys and some of the other contracts. They're paying Miles Leonard like 11 or 12 mil.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
That just means you overpaid for Miles Leonard.
Yep.
And you know, I don't know. If I'm looking at getting rid of anybody, then it might be him and not a guy like McCollum or Lillard. Those
I saw you tweeting, Nick. You love Lillard, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Lillard. I mean, I think he does very, very well. He's that guy that could shoot a really, really tough shot. Like, you can play really, really good defense on Damian Lillard, force him to take an incredibly difficult shot, and he'll still make it. I do like that backcourt between him and McCollum. I don't know if this is going to be the team that's going to take him to a championship. I would imagine that team is going to be broken up before they see any real success. But, yeah, in terms of Damian Lillard, I mean, the guy is kind of unstoppable. I mean, the guy was shooting off-balance shots, and defense was there. Sometimes his defense wasn't there, but sometimes the defense was right there in his face, and he was still able to make those big shots. And that's part of the reason why he's so great at what he does.
That's right. That's why those guys get the big bucks, because they've proven over time that even sometimes better offense beats good defense, and he can do that. Like you said, he can beat contested shots because he's just that gifted as a shooter. So we'll see, because Portland's one of the teams they're chasing. Portland is a team that they have dominated in the past, but they've struggled with a lot of teams they've dominated in previous years. This year, i.e. the Clippers, for one, who have their number, amongst others. But at least the Rockets climbing one game closer towards 500 with that win, and some interesting games coming up tonight in the schedule as well. The Rockets are off beginning Thursday night. That's a monster, because now LeBron and the Lakers come to town for the first time. Everybody's kind of starred that game on their calendar. That should be a good barometer for a team that no one thought, at least amongst us, was going to be at least this early a contender for one of the top seeds in the West. But, you know, LeBron's got that team playing well, and that'll be a good test for the Rockets to see how they match up right now.
Yep. It's LeBron and everybody else, but that's okay. If you can go in and get that game and you can start making up some ground on some of these teams that you sit behind, it's a start. I mean, basically there's one team that you're better than in the West, so you better start beating some of these teams that people don't think that, because you look at the top eight and some of these teams you think are fool's gold. You've mentioned you don't think the Clippers are as good as their record.
Right.
The Lakers probably aren't as good enough to be 1.5 games back in the West.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. So now's the time for the Rockets maybe to make some of those moves.
So we'll see what happens. Hopefully this is an uptick for the Rockets, but they got the win last night. Speaking of winning, Nate Griffin's going to join us next, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things as he is part of the big program we've got going here at Gatlin's Barbecue. You should be here. Stop in and see us because it's the best barbecue around. It's 3510 Ella Boulevard. It's brought to you by Hawk Security. I just got my Hawk Security system, and I'm telling you, could not be more excited about what they bring to the table. Hawk Security doing a great job. I know Nate's got a Hawk Security at his house. You should too. So stop by and see us. Hawk is here. My man Rocky is here, so he'll be happy to talk to you. Our promotions team's here, where you can win some T-shirts, some great prizes. Stop by and see us. It's the usual suspects. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock on ESPN 97.5.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back, everybody. Second half hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Gatlin's Barbecue. 3510 Ella, come on by and see us. Lots of nice people here enjoying some great food. And amongst those people, my main man, Nate Griffin, stopping by to see us. Nate, we always have Good conversations, and appreciate when you spend some time with us because you're a busy man, bro. I mean, I turned on the news last night, and I know you got the morning shift on 26, but I see you in that unenviable position. I had to ask you about this. You're chasing a dude down as he leaves the courtroom.
Yep.
And I notice people at other stations that will remain nameless got to keep poking the bear, got to keep asking the questions, got to think that what something they're going to say is going to trigger. Nate's just following old boy with a microphone going, if you speak, I got you, and if not, I'm not getting in the middle of all this.
That's right.
That is not fun, is it?
It's not fun at all. I can't even say the adrenaline gets up because it's news. It's not sports. Sports is so much different from covering news, man. It's night and day. And in this particular situation, though, this is something that needed to be covered. It was a tough situation where you had a guy who stole, or allegedly,
right,
$800,000 from a church.
Yep. Oh,
yeah.
$800,000 from a church.
Yep.
And we were out there to cover that story. I had to get it done. I prefer to cover sports. I'll just be honest with you. Everybody knows that. It's no secret. That's my first love. And so we do sports early in the morning between 4 and 6. And then after that, it could be about news. It could be about sports. But yesterday was definitely about that news story you saw last night.
I'm just amazed that a church has $800,000 to steal.
Come on now. Have you seen some of the churches here that look like college campuses?
Really? Well, Barry, you my God. Barry, let's have an offline conversation about this,
okay? You think Joel Osteen is
hurting? Church is big business, I know. But it just still amazes me that churches have that kind of money.
Well, it was over a five-year period of time, okay?
All right, so he didn't just go in the state safe and take out
$800,000. No. It was over a five-year period of time.
Okay.
And so churches, because, and plus we're in the Bible Belt. Yep. Remember that. So there's lots of churches here. And because of that, we have a lot, and I'm one of them. You know, we have lots of people who worship, you know, and you pay your tithe. That's what you're supposed to do. Pay your tithes and offerings.
Yeah.
And that's what you do, and that's why these churches are
that's why they're in the summit.
What was the summit?
Joel Osteen has also had more world tours than the Eagles, and they keep having farewell tours. And he's selling them out just like a rock band.
But yes, he only takes a dollar, Joel. He only takes a dollar.
And his doors are wide open during hurricanes. But other than that, you also have the fact that, like, even Ed Young, he's got more campuses than, like, the University of California system with all of their different campuses. And there was the rumor out there for a while he used to take a helicopter to get from one service to the other. But let's just say it's safe to say the churches are doing very well.
They are in
the Houston area.
They are doing well. And he's not the only one who's taking a helicopter from service to service.
Well, I thought you were going to say taking plenty. Money.
But you know what? Pastors have to be on time for service. You cannot be late. Not good. Because the order of service in kind of falls by the wayside.
Barry, because the Lord does not want you to wait. You do not wait for the Lord. The Lord does not wait for anyone.
That's true. I am impressed, though, that they have helicopters.
It is impressive. It is impressive, Barry. Gotta agree with
you. Man,
it used to just be a
car. I'm not gonna lie to you. I played in a lot of leagues there, sports leagues. And the first time that I drove onto, and I'm not kidding, campus, I was like, these nice facilities are nicer than a lot of colleges that I've seen in my day. But and yet they're just running rec leagues. I can only imagine their high school where Andy Pettit and Lance Bergman have been the head coach. That the budgets are good to pay former major league players, and the facilities ain't bad either.
Well, it's interesting you say campus.
Yes.
Campus. Because they used to be church grounds. Campuses.
Yep. Yes.
Okay, so, they're camp. And don't call it a church ground. No, it's not a church ground. Too many buildings on that church campus for just to be a church ground. No.
That would be something that would be offensive to them if you call.
Yeah, well, you know, they won't say it's offensive, you know,
but it is.
That's not the Christian way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is.
That's funny.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
So you've been running around. You got your Rice schedule over with. If anybody doesn't know, you were doing color commentary for the Rice football team.
Yes, sir.
You got your morning schedule where you're doing some sports there. But you've got some time. You've had some time to look at what's going on. We just got done talking about the Rockets. Your take on a team, can they turn this around? Because everybody keeps thinking, hey, it's just a matter of time. They're going to get going. But do they have the pieces now to turn it around, or can they do something to turn it around before it's too late?
I don't think you just get going. I don't think you just flip a switch. And just, you look at the Rockets right now, and in the Southwest Division, they are sitting in dead last. Now you look at who is ahead of them, New Orleans, San Antonio, Dallas, Memphis. Dallas is playing some pretty good basketball right
now. Yes, they are.
And Memphis is always a big physical team. They can get up and down the floor, too. One of the slowest teams in the league. But still, you know, you got Conley as your, mm-hmm. as your point guard. You can get up and down the floor. Mm-hmm. So turning it on, it's not that simple. If you fall too many more games behind, you're going to be playing catch-up. And will you have a shot to get to the playoffs? It's not automatic.
Not
it's
in
just
the West.
Not automatic, no sir.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not just home court advantage, which they're always worried about. It's getting in because it's so log jammed.
That's exactly right. And remember, before I move on any further, and I know you want to jump in there, Barry, L.A. is starting to come on a little
bit. Yeah, we talked about it last segment that they're putting it together
yeah.
for a team that looked like a bunch of misfits. When you're playing with the best player in the world, things
right.
have a strange way of coming together. Now, if they make this trade that you and I had talked about, if they get Trevor Ariza, that's a nice piece.
Yeah, that's one of the key pieces that the Rockets are missing.
Thank you.
That's part of the reason why the Rockets suck so bad right now.
Money.
Yeah.
And see, and that's the thing. I keep mentioning that. And you and I have been big advocates of, we're not saying you had to bring back Ariza and Bamute. But if you don't bring them back, bring guys with like skill sets back in return so you have the similar type players. Rockets didn't do that. And everybody's like, well, Ariza, all they remember is he missed all those threes in Game 7. And they forget what a regular season he had. They forget that he was still an above-average defender. And Bamute, same thing. So I'm an advocate of saying they should have paid those guys the amount of money that they were trying to get, and I'm not mad at them for getting it. But I believe that then Daryl should have gone and got similar skill sets and players in return so the system still works.
Well, think about this. The Rockets predicate their offense on what? Three-point shots, right? Mm-hmm. They're a three-point shooting team. On the other end, you have to be able to play defense. Now you see just how valuable defense is because you don't have the requisite defenders to play defense on the other end when the Rockets miss a three-point shot. Do you realize that's a six-point swing? If they miss a three-point shot, yeah. The other team goes down, hits a three or a bucket. It could be a four- or six-point swing. Now you're playing from behind, and you don't have the defenders to defend to even play catch-up. James Harden can't score enough points from the perimeter or the three-point line to make up for that defense that they lost in Trevor Ariza. That was a – I just don't think you let him go. I really don't.
You definitely don't. How much of this do you put on Daryl Morey? I mean, was he smart to not pay the money and keep them? I mean, how much of this blame is – D'Antoni, how much of it is Daryl Morey, and how much of it is this just team not performing?
Well, everybody talks about making the right moves, using the right money to do so. And I thought, first of all, when you brought in Melo, you might have should have thought about that move. Mm-hmm. Now, I won't say it was a bad move because I think they had a game plan for him, and the chemistry was supposed to have been such between he, Paul, and Harden that obviously Melo would play well. But his game didn't fit the offense that D'Antoni wanted to run, obviously. And that's kind of it's not even an elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. So now you look at, okay, now you don't have defensive players that you really need. And Gary Clark was supposed to have been that guy, right? Gary Clark was supposed to have been a guy who would come in and play good defense, and he's not enough. And not only that, you don't have a bench right now that can pull out a game for you, you know, every third or fourth game. You don't have that. I don't necessarily completely blame that on Daryl Morey, but when you look at what they wanted to do versus what they're not doing, that three-point shooting team that can't play defense on the other end, that's a problem.
Who do you blame? Because I wrote the article on SportsMap, and I said D'Antoni's not to blame. Because I went back to the old Parcells quote again that said, if you expect me to serve you dinner, at least let me have a say-so in the groceries.
Yeah.
So that's where I go back to, you got rid of Ariza, or you let them walk, Ariza and Bamute. You got rid of Ryan Anderson, which everybody wanted to do.
Right.
But what you took back in return and what you went out and got to replace them.
Ryan Anderson didn't hurt.
No, square pegs, round right. hole. Don't fit the system on either end of the floor. So where you lie on that?
You know, it's funny. I think that one of the things that gets overlooked, and I'm not going to put all the blame on this, on them, I think the majority of the blame is obviously Daryl Morey because he's the one that felt like in order to make the money work that he could sacrifice those guys and not have to pay them. And one of our listeners pointed it out. If you're they're now with the signing with Clark, they're approaching the cap, the penalties.
Yep, cap space.
You might as well have just paid Ariza and Bamute and paid the luxury tax and kept the team intact. So some of that blame goes to him. But you know who doesn't get a lot of blame in this? The players. You don't. A lot of people aren't blaming Chris Paul –
For being
and
hurt?
James Harden, well, not only for being hurt, but for lobbying to add Carmelo to this team.
Yeah. That was
for
all letting, them.
For, le- yeah. For, right. for being okay yeah. with some of these guys leaving so that they can get Carmelo, get their buddy. And I mean, they deserve some of the blame as well because they could have said, no, we're a better team with Trevor
Ariza. You may be onto something.
No, it's a valid point because it is look a very at the last point. Game that they lost on the road. Chris Paul was in single digits. You can't have that happen.
No.
Do you guys know who leads the league in turnovers? And by a large margin, James Harden. Mm. So there you go. Your two best players who are supposed to propel you to a higher level
right.
are in some cases bringing you down because there's so much expected of them. So many people are counting on them, and they're not coming through the way they need to come through either. So that's a very valid point.
Who expected Chris Paul to be hurt for as many games as he was hurt or to be out for as many games as he was out? I don't think we counted on that. That wasn't a part of the equation.
But it is a track record, Nate. It's been a track record.
That is true. Although it is a track record, but I just don't think we really counted that when you thought about, okay, you're going to bring in Melo, and now you don't have defenders. Now you don't get rid of Bamute and Trevor Ariza, both of them. Both of your best defenders from a year ago.
Along with Capella.
Yeah, along with Capella, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so
and
it's
he's
definitely
not as effective.
No, and he's not, and he got the money.
That's right.
But here's the other thing that I throw to both of you guys before we head to break. You look at what you just said about Chris Paul, and you know that there's a track record in the history, whether you saw it coming or not. Does it behoove you to sign him for 4 years at over $40 million and know that those last couple years you could be in straight jail in terms of what you could do to get out from under it?
I was on with Patrick, and we talked about this, and I said, you do not do that. You do not sign him for that amount of time.
3 years to me would have been the max.
3 years. 3 years.
You still would be dealing with him today. I mean, you decided that Chris Paul was going to be one of your big three, whether it was for 3 years or 4 years. You decided that he was one of your big three that you tried to build around. And I mean, like you said, Nate, can't stay healthy. That's
great
a
player,
big problem. Yeah.
Great player, but needs
older,
help. And now
older.
You don't have the other guys to help you.
You don't have the depth?
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember, Trevor Ariza will go in and guard
that's right.
a point guard
fours,
or a shooting
threes,
guard.
Fours, threes, twos, and ones.
That's right. And Bob Mute was the same way. There, was, right. there were times where either of those guys would take anyone on the floor if they had to, especially if Chris Paul was out for extended periods and extended games. So
who's a dirty guy on the team now? Name him.
There's
who
not
is he?
One. I mean, it's Chris Paul when he's not hurt.
Who's
that's
a dirty
it.
Guy?
Who's the guy who
who's
plays
the, who's
it?
The one? Yeah.
Who's
the
dirty
guy?
P.J. Tucker.
He's it. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, but at least you got one, but that's him. He's the guy that's going to get down in the trenches. Yeah. He's the guy that's going to guard everybody on the floor. He's going to give someone a shoulder.
He's going to get dirty.
Yeah. He's the only guy that I can name.
Yep. Yeah.
So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. Nate, we appreciate you. We're going to get you in once an hour. Check back with you. We got other things to cover with you as well. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, where you can call, text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're at Gatlin's Barbecue. Nate gets to get back and get some of that lunch in him because it is good food here, and we'd love to see you. Stop on by and see us. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. It is the first hour of the Usual Suspects at Gatlin's Barbecue. Come on by and see us. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock. Compliments of Hawks Security Services. My man Rocky is a great dude. First of all, good friend, great dude. But they will take care of you at Hawk. And I'm telling you right now, they have so much to offer you from the free doorbell camera with installation when you get that Hawk Pro package, but also the fact that they got everything from an app that can control your locks on your front and back doors, to your garage doors, to your thermostats, to your fire alarms. Hawk's got everything for you. And unlike the big box companies and the big name corporate companies that I actually was in a deal with, everything, when they do it via the app and the internet, can really slow down. They've got their own cell towers. They do this thing the right way. You can actually talk to people at your door when you see them trying to steal your packages and tell them that they're in trouble. It's pretty cool.
I'm a big proponent of people not stealing my package.
I bet you are.
And keeping the back door locked up. I'm a big proponent of both of those.
Did I mention Gatlin's Barbecue has sausage? But other than that, I know that there's a lot to be had here at barbecue. At Gatlin's Barbecue.
You just wedged that in there, didn't you? Well,
You said wedged in there, so.
All right.
It's the way sometimes it's the way you got to do things. Situation's different.
I'm talking security, and I see you just.
So am I.
Okay. No, you started talking.
You can't secure your boiler room if you have sausage because it's going to come back to haunt you.
I don't know what you're doing.
Okay. Well, we're back on the usual suspects anyway. And. On a way back Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Now, I meant to ask you about that song that you put on your list, Mars, Pump Up the Volume.
Uh-huh.
Did you use the space theme in the name?
Yes.
Mars. Because it's not spelled M-A-R-S, like the planet.
It's M-A-R-R-S.
Correct.
But they also sing about this next song on the list, which is Mars Needs Women. That's where it comes from. So, Mars.
That's the name of the group? That's where the name came from?
Correct.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Nick, I'm going to call technicality. I'm going to expect that you're going to be with me on this.
I will hit up the Googles. See if he's cheating, trying to slide one past
I did it while I was driving, and I had to beat Joel. So whatever. You guys work it out amongst yourselves.
Okay, we were talking Rockets before the break, boys. Before we get off of that, someone just tweeted us that says the Rockets could reportedly trade for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, he was supposed to be a shooter for L.A., and that hasn't worked out because he's supposed to be the main guy going away to bring in Trevor Ariza for the Lakers. Do you want Kentavious Caldwell or KCP, as they call it?
He has to come here too, because he can veto the trade.
That's right. He has a no trade too. But if he would waive that, because obviously you want to go somewhere you're wanted, and at least the Rockets have a roster that says they should compete. Do you want him on your team, Nick?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't know if that's going to put you over the hump, but at the same time, which player is going to put you over the hump and get you as close to what you were last year as a 65 win team? Yeah, he has some options. I mean, you can use him, but I don't know if that necessarily puts you over the hump.
I'm with you. I think he's one small piece, if he's a piece at all. Yeah. And there's just so much work to be done on this team, and one guy isn't going to fix it. And, I mean, are you telling me that you think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a replacement for either Trevor Ariza or Luka Mbamute? Or fills the needs of 3-and-D.
Either one. I think he's a shooter that they would expect to add to their ability to shoot threes. The same way they wanted to kick the tires on J.R. Smith. They're looking for guys that are a quick fix from a shooting standpoint. But I definitely don't think, I hope that they think that they know better than to think that he's a replacement for either one of those two guys. But Tom Penn was on the NBA channel last night for the pregame show for the Rockets. And he's a cap expert. And he was very adamant in the fact that Portland and the Rockets are very similar in the fact that this roster, the way it's constructed, is so cap-strung that there's no trades out there that can be a quick fix or help them, that they're going to have to figure it out internally. That's what really worries me. Because I don't think that they have the roster currently constructed where they can figure it out on their own without help from the outside world.
Okay.
So, I don't know. All right, so if you guys want to continue to talk Rockets, we can always get back to it, double back, or if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we are available at 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. I see, Barry, that we were talking before the show a little bit too, but it looks like on the last day of the winter meetings here in baseball, things may start shaking out. Jay Happ has reached an agreement with the New York Yankees for 3 years, so there's another pitcher off the books. In terms of availability, and now it looks like Charlie Morton or CFM.
Charlie freaking Morton
is entertaining offers from other squads and may make a decision today.
Yeah, I'm hearing there's the Rays are out there. The Rangers are interested, of course, the Astros, but they've only offered him a 1-year deal. I think the question is, do you think is he mentally into it? How's the shoulder?
The shoulder worries me.
Yeah. So there are some suitors for him, and I think Philly is also a suitor, though I'm not 100%. But there are teams out there that are vying for his services. And look, man, he was a key component of this staff for several years. It would be interesting. I'm almost, and I hate to say this, but I almost, in a small part of me, wants him to leave.
Really? Why?
Because I want to see what he can do when he's not in the system. Before he got to the Astros, he was okay. He was decent. He was
hurt a lot, too.
But he wasn't great. And then when he got to the Astros, his numbers skyrocketed, and except for the ALCS. He had horrible numbers in the ALCS, but you got to get there to have bad numbers, and he was a big part of that. But, yeah, he's a guy that It'll be interesting to see what he does outside of the Astros organization if he chooses to go that route.
Yeah, my biggest concern is just the health of his shoulder. And to commit for 2 years at whatever it is, $12, $15 million, and some people were under the impression, I was one of them, that he loved Houston so much and how he can basically keep his anonymity and still be a major league player by being here and having his family happy. He might give him a little bit of a hometown discount. But all that being said, even that hometown discount, I'm not giving him that money for 2 years when I know that coming around the corner, here comes Garrett Cole and here comes Verlander and some contracts I got to sew up when in fact, I don't know how healthy his shoulder is. And we all know that you can be the greatest name with the greatest numbers in baseball, but if your shoulder isn't right,
yeah,
I'm not giving you more than 1 year until I can – my medical staff is very much convinced that it's not going to give out.
So here's some interesting stats about Charlie Morton. So prior to coming to the Astros, guess how many seasons he had where he won more games than he lost, where he was above 500 for his record?
Two.
One.
Okay, close.
He had one season between 2008 and 2016 where he had better than a 500 record. 2013, he went 7-4, had 20 games where he started that year. He also had a 3.26 ERA. 2 years with the Astros, 14-7 and 15-3. So don't tell me there's not something going on in this organization where they're able to take pitchers and make them better. You took a guy who was older than he probably was in his, you know, well, not probably, but he's at a point where he's past his prime. His prime was probably 2013, 2014.
Well, let me ask you something on that, right?
So because age-wise, but
I see what you're cooking up here. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, once you learn whatever you had to learn while you were here, don't you take that with you, the adjustments, the Brett Strom, the spin rate, whatever the moves that they helped him make.
Until you lose it. Think about that. That's a key. Think about guys like Dallas Keuchel, who during the season seemed to have lost it and then found it again. It happens all the time. You know you're a pitcher. That arm angle moves a little. You start compensating for maybe a sore rib and your mechanics get off, and that's where part of – being a great pitching coach is being able to recognize that and fix it in your guys throughout the year. He's not necessarily going to have that if he goes some other places. I'm not suggesting that other places can't do it as well. I'm just saying it'll be interesting. He was with Pittsburgh. He was with Atlanta. He was with Philly before he came here. Man, one good year in all that time.
Interesting that on MLB Network they play a game called Insider Poker live from the winter meetings. And what they do is they take three insiders and they deal these cards that were pre-constructed with rumors that are out there. And the rumors around the Astros were, one, that Nelson Cruz was going to sign a 2-year deal with the Astros.
Okay.
Two, that Kyle Tucker and another pitching prospect were going to go to the Giants for Madison Baumgartner.
Okay.
And that three, I believe it was Daniel Murphy, was being kicked around.
Oh, interesting.
As a guy for DH or other roles within the Astros.
So I'm supposed to choose which one I think
thoughts,
is the most
because
likely?
They all had to say the validity of any of them happening. They said the more likely thing is that they would sign Cruz, maybe, but probably not for 2 years. And they also said that they're looking at pitching prospects, but they didn't think Tucker would giving up Tucker, they'd have to get a younger, better pitcher than Madison Baumgartner at this point in his career.
I mean, that makes sense to me, too. And I of the three of you were asking me which one I think would be the most likely to occur, and I think it would be Cruz. I think it would be adding Cruz to the mix because, yeah, going out and trading for a guy like Baumgartner, this isn't Justin Verlander 2.0 necessarily. I mean, Verlander, more than anything, has proved to be durable. And Baumgartner, later in his career, is proving not to be the case. Still a good pitcher, but not the same kind of move. And I think this is a team that knows. I mean, remember, I think last year, towards the end of the year, I wrote the article about what does this rotation look like over the next 4 or 5 years. And you slowly lose some of these stars that have gotten you to the World Series and won it.
Yeah.
Year after year, we talked about losing Dallas this year. And then next year, you probably lose Garrett Cole. And then the year after that, McCullers is going to be
Verlander,
up soon.
One of the other.
Verlander as well. I mean, that's two in the same year, I believe. So you're going to start losing some of these. You don't want to get older right now. You want to start getting some of these horses coming up to the back end of that rotation in the 4 and 5 spot.
Jones
and fill
and
in. Yeah.
Whitley.
So,
and,
right. Yeah. And that's probably why they don't want to trade Forrest Whitley for a guy like Baumgartner, because you're not getting any better and any younger.
No doubt about it. So, all right, we got one in the books. We still got 2 hours to go to the big show. And if you want to join us, you certainly can. 713-780-3776. Get you.